Good morning. We're here today to look at chapter 16 of the Tao Te Ching, which is called the Way of Enlightenment. But before we do that, I just want to do a brief review of the chapters that we've looked at before this chapter, because they're all related. So I'm going to start my review with chapter 10, which I called Mystic Virtue. And chapter 10 was really a chapter that taught spiritual practice. You may remember it began with this line: can you seek the soul, embrace oneness, and never leave it? Remember, we spent, I think, 4 weeks on this chapter. This was the chapter that taught us to hold to that desire or that intention for truth or for awakening, truth realization, enlightenment. The second line taught us meditation. The third line taught us to question our mind and allow it to be purified. The next line taught us to let go of control. The next line to learn to be receptive instead of trying to figure everything out, to let go of our own thoughts about how things are and to be receptive. And then the next line to allow that clarity to arise on its own within that receptiveness. So chapter 10, which I called Mystic Virtue, was really teaching us very important spiritual practice. When we went to chapter 11, the value of emptiness, that's exactly what it taught us, how important it is to be empty. You know, it's really reinforcing that part about letting go of our own thinking and remaining open and receptive, not only for clarity to arise, but so that we can be moved by the Tao. I often call that guidance, moved by the Tao, instead of being moved by our own self-will. Chapter 12 was ordinary contrasted with wise, where it really showed us that humans are blinded by perception. In other words, they are reacting to what they see, what they hear, even what they think. And it said sages follow intuition instead of being dominated by perception. So normal people, ordinary people, are focused outward. Sages are focused inward, and they're being moved by what they know inwardly through the practice of the first two chapters, right? Through the practices of chapter 10 and chapter 11, knowing the value of emptiness. 13, which was called the qualification for leadership, really talked to us about two primary obstacles that are in the way of clarity. One is what I call the I am bad belief, believing that I am not good enough. That drives so many crazy thoughts in the mind. And then the other was just the belief that I am this person. Remember, it said to be held in high regard frightens us. And later it tells us because we're afraid we'll fall from that high regard. Likewise, we fear disgrace. This, of course, is because we believe that that is really our truth, the I am bad belief. But the biggest trouble is overvaluing the personal self. And then he went on to say, why do I say the biggest trouble is overvaluing the personal self? The reason we have trouble is because we think we are the personal self. Right? That's the biggest problem of all, is thinking that we are this person. If we move on to 14, centering in the way, this taught us to seek what we can't see, listen for what we cannot hear, reach for what we cannot grasp, right? It has no form, but we can hold to it. If we attempt to reach for it, seek for it, listen for it, we can find it and then hold to that ancient way. Let it guide your current steps. And we also talked about how this is guiding your way of being. You can know the ancient beginning. This is called centering in the way. Chapter 15, our most recent chapter, showed us what the ancient masters look like. And we've been contemplating these ways of being. We've been contemplating what it is to be at ease, instead of worried, for example, what it is to be still. And it says, still as if not wanting the neighbors to discover them. You know, this is something that I understand from my own current guidance. I recently received some guidance. It had several parts to it, but one of those parts was not to do anything for anyone, which is an interesting guidance. But what that really means is not to be reacting to the outside, right? Not to do something so that people will think a certain way of me, or not to do something so that people pleasing, right? I'm always to be centered in and doing things only for God or only for the inner guidance. But since receiving that guidance, not to do anything for anyone, I have received several requests, which actually would have taken up a lot of my time. It would have been a distraction of busyness, where I wouldn't have had as much time to focus inwardly in the way that I am guided to focus inwardly now, right? In meditation and contemplation. So I understand still as if not wanting the neighbors to discover them, right? This time is very focused inwardly. It is not focused outwardly. It is not even overly engaged in normal activities. Certainly there are some normal activities. They cannot be avoided, but it's not overly engaged in outward focused activities. Respectful like a house guest, always treating everyone with kindness. It's interesting because if I can't treat someone with kindness, there's an ego thought in my mind that is getting in the way of that kindness every time. So always, under all circumstances, even if they are not kind to me, responding with kindness to everyone is remaining centered in the Tao. Dissolving, like melting ice. This is becoming less and less the self, the person I think I am. Through the practices that we've been looking at in this review, there is less and less of what I thought I was, the me. I am literally dissolving, like melting ice. This is occurring as we speak. Honest, simple. Again, because if I cannot be honest and if I cannot be simple, there's ego thoughts getting in my way, right? And vastly empty, like a valley. We've already seen the value of emptiness. Mysterious like muddy water, mysterious only to the outside observer, because they cannot understand my yeses and my noes, for example. Why do I say yes in this circumstance and no in this circumstance? Well, the true answer is the inner guidance. But if they're looking at just the outside and comparing, you know, she said yes to this person and no to this person, they can't understand it. It's very mysterious. Tranquil, like the depths of the sea, right? The depths of the sea are not moved by what's happening on the surface, by the storms and such. So it's that consistent peace. The Bible calls it the peace that passeth understanding. Like wind in a high place, nothing can stop them. You know, this inner guidance that moves us, we're determined to follow it. You know, someone looks at us funny and says, why are you doing that? That's not going to stop us, right? Sometimes we even lose friends because they want us to do something differently, but we follow the inner guidance. Nothing can stop us. I'm not going to not follow my guidance so that you will like me. Who can patiently rest with confusion until they are clear? Who can take the time to attain these outer appearances genuinely? Who can patiently rest with confusion? Because we all start with the state of confusion, whether we know it or not. Who can patiently rest with confusion until they are clear? Who can remain still, unhurried in movement, checking for that guidance before I do, until they are awakened? Persevere in the way by desiring nothing. Only people who are not distracted by worldly desires or by that outer perception, right, can retreat from the world and become new. And now we're ready for chapter 16, the way of enlightenment. Excuse me. So I'll read from the RDA translation. Be devoted to reaching the utmost emptiness. And then sincerely hold to stillness. All things arise together. I observe as they arise and then return. Humanity and all things diverse and varied return to their root. To return to the root is called stillness. To be still is called returning to life. To return to life is called constant. To know constant is called wisdom. To know constant, or to not know constant, is to act recklessly and to suffer. To know constant is to allow. To allow is to have equanimity. To have equanimity is to be whole. To be whole is to be enlightened. Enlightenment is the way. Remain with the way, and there is no death and no suffering. So let's look at this. First of all, the first sentence is really, again, encouraging the practice. In fact, when you read the first sentence and you go, huh, how? You know, you could then go back to chapter 10, because chapter 10 is the answer to that question. It says, be devoted to reaching the utmost emptiness, and then sincerely hold to stillness. And again, this is what chapter 10 is all about. Right, when we're devoted to the utmost emptiness, we are letting go of our own thinking. And we're doing it because we want truth realization. We want to see and know the Tao directly. You know, so we're spending time in meditation, letting go of thinking, noticing the thinking that is there, letting go of thinking, centering in on, we talked about centering in on the breath, centering in on sensations, centering in on sounds. And eventually we learn to just center in on awareness, on being aware, right? Just noticing that awareness is continuous. But in order to do any of those things, we can't be engaged in our thought. You know, another way that we are devoted to reaching the utmost emptiness is in our daily tasks, as we move about in the day, noticing the inner dialogue, and learning to let it go, learning especially not to believe it, learning to see it as nothing more than meaningless narration, meaningless chatter, right? And we also learn to deeply question our thoughts. For example, we have seen one obstacle, one type of thought that all humans experience is what I call the I am bad belief. And again, it can come up in a number of ways. It can come up in I'm ugly, right? My hair, you know, I actually just got out of bed. I haven't even brushed my hair this morning. You know, you know what you find underneath the sweatshirt is my PJs, right? You know, what are other people thinking of me, right? These types of thoughts, oh my gosh, they must think I'm, you know, lazy. They must think I'm ugly. They must think I'm, you know, not prepared. I don't know I'll tell you why it's hard for me to think of examples. And this is good news. What has happened is through practice, and in fact, I don't remember if I mentioned this before or not, my early teachings playlist, and I'll put a link below the video, my early teachings playlist is the story of how I let go of the I am bad belief. There's 275 very short videos, but the entire thing tells the story of how this I am bad belief was deleted in my mind or deleted from my subconscious. And because it was deleted from my subconscious, it now is not a part of my thinking. And what happens as more and more primary subconscious but untrue ideas are deleted, there is less and less thinking. So this is why purification of the mind is very important. That also, of course, as we talked about, changes our perception, but the mind literally becomes more and more empty as we question our thoughts and see through these thoughts and come not to believe certain types of thoughts, right? So chapter 10 tells us how to be devoted to reaching the utmost emptiness. That's what chapter 10 tells us. And then we sincerely hold to that new position. Each time we gain a new level of emptiness, we sincerely hold to that. We value that. We willingly live from that. We do not return to thinking and figuring out. We stay open and receptive and let clarity arise on its own. We let the Tao guide our current steps and our current way of being. All of this is how we sincerely hold to the stillness. All of the previous chapters have addressed that. Be devoted to reaching the utmost emptiness and then sincerely hold to stillness. Those, you could say, are our directions. And because of the previous chapters, we know how to follow those directions. Now, we're just going to get into a teaching. All things arise together. If you look at this moment, whatever this moment is for you, notice that it's all here now. You know, like I, of course, have the sight of the mountains, the rays of sun, because the sun is coming up behind me. I can see the rays of sun starting to hit the mountains. There's a breeze. I see the bushes blowing. I hear the birds. My dog is sleeping next to me. She hasn't really got going yet today, so I hear her gently snoring. But all of this is here now. It's all arising together now. Even my own heartbeat, my own breathing, my own hearing, my own seeing. It's all arising together. All things arise together. This I is very important. It's not the self. It's beyond the self. People often call it awareness. That's a word they use for it. What I truly am is what this I means. Not the person, not the thinking. I observe. This is what I do. I am always observing. I observe as they arise. And then return. You know, as an example of what this means, the sun is starting to come up behind me. I don't know how long we'll be here. If we're here too long making this video, we'll probably eventually have to close this blind because the sun will come up over that hill and get very bright shining in this window, right? This state of where the sun is now and this state of how the rays of sun are going across, there's a canyon over there. I can see the cliffs of the canyon, then going across the prairie and then hitting the mountains and lighting up the snow on the top of the mountains. That is just now. Just now. You know, minutes from now, it's going to be different as the sun rises higher. It's only now. And that's the way everything is, even though we don't realize it. Everything is only now and exactly the way it is. You know, the way the birds are singing now. I just saw a bird drop beside my window. The way the moon is out there in the sky. The way the dog is snoring. The way the wind is blowing. The way I am speaking is only now. And then in the next now, it's all different. Everything is so temporary. And I observe. I am the constant. All of perception coming and going, shifting and changing. I, the observer, we'll call it for now. I'm the one constant. If I pay close attention to I as awareness, I am the one thing that is not coming and going, shifting and changing. When that sun is higher in the sky and these blinds have to be closed, the observer is exactly the same. The sun is different. Everything else is different. but the observer exactly the same. I observe as they arise and then return. All things arise together. I observe as they arise and then return. Now, this next sentence is very important. Humanity. So we don't want to pretend like we're not talking about people, right? Humanity and all things, diverse and varied, return to their root. Everything ends. Everything, we could use the word now for a moment, dies. Every moment, exactly as it is, passes away. And this is true of people as well. Humanity and all things diverse and varied return to their root. To return to the root is called stillness. You know, you might think of that common term that we have, rest in peace. You know, imagine that there's a certain person that just, in effect, had a tortured life, right? Everything was always difficult for them. You know, maybe there was a lot of marriage and divorce, alcoholism, debt, you know, lots of problems. And then this person dies. And there might be this feeling within is, you know, now their problems are over, right? Now their problems are over. They can rest in peace eternally. To return to the root is called stillness. That's literally what that sentence is pointing to. But then the next sentence is quite interesting, which leads us to question that all of the previous. To be still is called returning to life. Well, we just said that everything ends, everything dies. But that's returning to life. What is this pointing to? Well, this is all of what I just said is true. Everything is temporary. Everything passes away. This is a truth. And I, the constant awareness, observes that. But let's remember a previous chapter where Lao Tzu pointed out that the biggest problem of all is thinking I am a personal self. He's telling us humanity will return to its root. This body will die. But have you ever heard of the saying, die before you die? This is what this chapter, chapter 16, The Way of Enlightenment, is pointing to. If we can die to the idea that I am the personal self, realize myself as this permanent I that observes, that is returning to life. There is a death, and then you could call it a resurrection. We just had Easter last Sunday, so it's kind of appropriate in time here. A death and then a resurrection. You know, Jesus in the book of John in the Bible, at chapter 3, when talking to Nicodemus and some others, called it being born again. Instead of being born of the flesh, which is the common person, being born of the spirit. This is the way Jesus put it. This is what Lao Tzu is pointing to also here. He's saying that if we can die to the idea that we are the personal self, that is returning to life. Everything is temporary, even humanity. Therefore, this personal self, which is really thought and emotion kind of all tied up together, it can die too. And that is a new awakening. All things arise together. I observe as they arise and then return. Humanity and all things, diverse and varied, return to the root. Everything, even the personal self. To return to the root is called stillness, and we know this. To be still is called returning to life. This might be something you didn't know, you know? So maybe now that ears perked up a little bit. To return to life is called constant. Remember, I said this I that observes is constant. Awareness is constant. It's awakening to this constancy. To know constant is called wisdom. This is truth realization. To actually know constant as the direct experience. To not know constant, which of course is the state of almost everybody out there who's caught up in perception, as we've seen from previous chapters, to not know constant is to act recklessly and to suffer. Right? There's that comparison again. You know, we can ask ourselves, what do I want? Because there needs to be a decision here. So, to know constant is called wisdom. To not know constant, to be caught up in perception, is to act recklessly and to suffer. Here's some more of what it looks like when we know constant. To know constant is to allow. In other words, I'm not caught up in perception. I don't think my happiness, my safety, et cetera, you know, my good reputation, bad reputation is all out there. So I'm not out there trying to control things, being happy when things are a certain way, unhappy when things are another way, maybe angry when things are another way. I'm able to just allow all of the comings and goings. Because my personal self, that which causes the most trouble, is not here. Therefore, it is not engaged in the outer. I am that constant observer. I am just watching. So I can allow whatever arises. I also know, of course, that it will fall away, and I can allow whatever falls away. Nothing to wish for, wish it was different than it is. Nothing to cling to because I need to keep it as it is. To know constant is to allow. To allow is to have equanimity. There's a solid, continuous peace, contentment, joy that is able to be here because it is not dependent on anything external. It's coming from knowing I, true I, or what we could call truth realization. To know constant is to allow. To allow is to have equanimity. To have equanimity is to be whole. And we're going to come back in a moment and look at this because this was the one place here where it was interesting to translate. So we're going to come back and look at that word whole. But for now, you could look at the whole as no more division, no more separation, oneness of everything, right? Absolute completion. In fact, that was another word I could have translated it to. To have equanimity is to be complete. I could have chosen whole. I could have chosen complete. I ended up going with whole, but what this word points to is beyond words, and we're going to look at that in a moment. To have equanimity is to be whole. To be whole is to be enlightened. When there's no more division, no more separation, pure oneness, only the Tao, we could say, that's enlightenment. Knowing that as a direct experience, where I and oneness are equal. There's nothing else. That's enlightenment. That's truth realization. To be whole is to be enlightened. Enlightenment is the way, or we could say enlightenment is the Tao. There's no difference there, right? It's not that I'm following the Tao, as it was earlier in my spiritual practice of learning to become empty and become centered. I'm not following the Tao anymore. The Tao and enlightenment is the same. Pure non-duality, pure oneness, no more I and thou, only I. Enlightenment is the way. Remain with the way which at this point is going to be natural. And there is no death and no suffering. This is what Jesus called eternal life. Knowing that constant I that is all things, that is the Tao, there is no death in that. So when that is I, there is no death, even as this humanity, this body passes away. So with all that said, let me read this one more time, and then we'll look at that one word that I wanted to look at. So listen deeply, maybe even close your eyes as you listen. Be devoted to reaching the utmost emptiness, and then sincerely hold to stillness. All things arise together. I observe as they arise and then return. Humanity and all things diverse and varied return to their root. To return to the root is called stillness. To be still is called returning to life. To return to life is called constant. To know constant is called wisdom. To not know constant is to act recklessly and to suffer. To know constant is to allow. To allow is to have equanimity. To have equanimity is to be whole. To be whole is to be enlightened. Enlightenment is the way. Remain with the way, and there is no death and no suffering. All right, so we're going to go back and look at just that one little translation. Oh, you can see the sun is starting to come up behind me. See how things are changing? We'll leave it for now, but I may have to close the blinds in a moment if I start to disappear in the sun rays. All right, I'm going to share my screen. All right, this is a line that we're going to be looking at. And in fact, let me go ahead and just read the word for word as I translated those characters. Equitable, be whole or complete. Whole or complete, be heaven. So this first character, equitable, right? Be whole or complete. Whole or complete, be heaven. And the word that we really want to look at is this whole or complete. So here's the translation as the dictionary gives it. In this particular character, it says maintain. Then it says keep whole or intact, and other dictionaries used complete also. Maintain, keep whole or intact. And again, sometimes dictionaries say complete instead of intact, but you can see how those might be synonyms. This particular character is really interesting. Chinese characters are made up of, I think they're called radicals, or like almost like mini characters within a character. This particular character, this top part of the character, which looks a little bit like an upside down V, that means to enter, to enter. This bottom part of the character means king. So to enter king, and yet to enter king means whole. Or complete. I had a good time contemplating this. Because when we look at the sentence, it says to have equanimity is to be whole. To be whole is to be enlightened. Well, let's look at the radicals for a moment. To have equanimity is to enter king. to enter king. This is talking about entering a state that is supreme. A king is a supreme ruler. We are entering a state that is supreme. And that state could be called whole or intact, or as I said, other dictionaries would say complete. To have equanimity is to enter a supreme state. I love that translation, even though I didn't write it down. But that's what this word whole means to me. Or if I'd put complete, this is what complete means to me. It's entering a supreme state. To enter that supreme state is to be enlightened. This is what the word whole means here. And in fact, if we look at some other translations on this particular line, this translation, and again, this is Lin Yutang, I believe, from 1948. See, I have trouble finding it because so much of this is in Chinese. I have to get to the English. But yeah, Lin Yutang from 1948. He calls it impartial. I call it equanimity. He said, being impartial, he is King Li. Not king, but King Li. Being impartial, he is King Li. Being King Li, he is in accord with nature, but with a capital N, which I call that enlightenment. The literal translation of this last character is heaven or God. Right? He called it nature with a capital N. I called it enlightenment. The literal translation, we could say, is, let me return to my word for word. So we could say, to have equanimity is to enter a supreme state. To enter a supreme state is to be God, or is to be heaven. I call that enlightened. But then the next line would say, to be God is to be the Tao, or to be heaven is to be the Tao. I said enlightenment is the way. But see what an interesting character this is. Let's look at Jonathan Starr. As we know, we've seen Jonathan Starr a few times, a little more interpretive. Let's look at how Jonathan Starr did this. Equanimity, he called the vision of oneness. He said a vision of oneness brings about universal love. So he translated this character, this supreme state character, as universal love. I think this supreme state that this character is pointing to is really beyond words. I don't think we can tell you what this is. I think the only way to know what that character represents is to follow the way and awaken to it. Let's look at Derek Lynn's translation. Remember, I told you Derek Lynn tends to be very, very literal, where Jonathan Starr is very interpretive. Maybe we'll look at Jonathan Starr next. See the literal and the interpretive and see if they're different or the same. Here's Derek Lynn. Attain the ultimate emptiness. Hold to the truest tranquility. The myriad things are all active. I, therefore, watch their return. Everything flourishes. Each returns to its root. Returning to the root is called tranquility. Tranquility is called returning to one's nature. Returning to one's nature is called constancy. Knowing constancy is called clarity. Not knowing constancy, one recklessly causes trouble. Knowing constancy is acceptance. Acceptance is impartiality. Impartiality is sovereign. That's how he translated that, entering king character, which means whole or complete. Impartiality is sovereign. Sovereign is heaven. Heaven is Tao. Tao is eternal. Now listen to this last line from Derek Lynn. The self is no more, without danger. That's what we are talking about. Enlightenment is no self. The self has returned to its root, passed away, died. It is no more. Go ahead and look at the interpretive translation of Jonathan Starr. Become totally empty. Quiet the restlessness of the mind. Only then will you witness everything unfolding from emptiness. See all things flourish and dance in endless variation, and once again merge back into perfect emptiness. Their true repose, their true nature, emerging, flourishing, dissolving back again. This is the eternal process of return. To know this process brings enlightenment. To miss this process brings disaster. Be still. Stillness reveals the secrets of eternity. Eternity embraces the all possible. The all possible leads to a vision of oneness. A vision of oneness brings about universal love. That's the king, entering king character. Universal love supports the great truth of nature with a capital N. The great truth of nature is Tao. Whoever knows this truth lives forever. The body may perish. Deeds may be forgotten. But he who has Tao has all eternity. So this is a really incredible chapter. So let's move to our assignment. Our assignment then is to contemplate chapter 16 and chapter 10 together. That's the assignment. And then as you contemplate these, if you are interested in tasting what this entering king character, the supreme state character means directly, if you're interested in that, then start embracing the practices of chapter 10 and the beginning part of 16, which is be devoted to reaching the utmost emptiness and then sincerely hold to stillness. And also as you meditate, we can add, you know, we've talked about we've talked about paying attention to the breath or the sensations in the body or the sounds that we hear as ways of meditating and just being very, very still. If you feel that you can, add paying attention to awareness. We could call it the eye that observes the constancy while you close your eyes and meditate. Right? So again, contemplate chapter 16 and 10 together. If you find you want to learn with this enter king character, whole, complete, supreme, what this character really means as a direct experience, then begin to embrace the practices. And so chapter 10 then becomes very, very important as a part of chapter 16, right? Be devoted to reaching the utmost emptiness and then sincerely hold to stillness. All right, looks like we finished this video before this image disappeared in the sun. It was nice watching the sunrise with you. Bye.